company to those new squeaking gods upon Olympus, who had not seen the making of the world.
Oceanus's palace was a great wonder, set deep in the Earth's rock.
Its high-arched halls were gilded, the stone floors smoothed by centuries of divine feet. Through every room ran the faint sound of Oceanus's river, source of the world's fresh waters, so dark you could not tell where it ended and the rock bed began. On its banks grew grass and soft grey flowers, and also the unnumbered children of Oceanus, naiads and nymphs and river gods. Otter sleek, laughing, their faces bright against the dusky air. They passed golden goblets among themselves and wrestled, playing games of love. In their midst, outshining all that lily beauty, sat my mother. Her hair was a warm brown, each strand so lustrous it seemed lit from within. She would have felt my father's gaze, hot as gusts from a bonfire. I see her arrange her dress so it drapes just so over her shoulders. I see her dab her fingers, glinting in the water. I have seen her do 1,000 such tricks 1,000 times. My father always fell for them. He believed the world's natural order was to please him. "Who is that?" my father said to Oceanus. Oceanus had many golden-eyed grandchildren from my father already, and was glad to think of more. "My daughter Perse. She is yours if you want her." The next day, my father found her by her fountain pool in the upper world. It was a beautiful place, crowded with fat-headed narcissus woven over with oak branches. There was no muck, no slimy frogs, only clean, round stones giving way to grass. Even my father, who cared nothing for the subtleties of nymph arts, admired it. My mother knew he was coming. Frail she was, but crafty, with a mind like a spike-toothed eel. She saw where the path to power lay for such as her, and it was not in bastards and riverbank tumbles. When he stood before her, arrayed in his glory, she laughed at him. "Lie with you? Why should I?" My father, of course, might have taken what he wanted, but Helios flattered himself that all women went eager to his bed, slave girls and divinities alike. His altars smoked with the proof, offerings from big-bellied mothers and happy byblows. "It is marriage," she said to him, "or nothing. And if it is marriage, be sure. You may have what girls you like in the field, but you will bring none home, for only I will hold sway in your halls." Conditions. Constrainment. These were novelties to my father, and gods love nothing more than novelty. "A bargain," he said, and gave her a necklace to seal it, one of his own making, strung with beads of rarest amber. Later, when I was born, he gave her a second strand, and another for each of my three siblings. I do not know which she treasured more, the luminous beads themselves or the envy of her sisters when she wore them. I think she would have gone right on collecting them into eternity until they hung from her neck like a yoke on an ox if the high gods had not stopped her. By then they had learned what the four of us were. "You may have other children," they told her, "only not with him." But other husbands did not give amber beads. It was the only time I ever saw her weep. At my birth, an aunt, I will spare you her name because my tale is full of aunts, washed and wrapped me. Another tended to my mother, painting the red back on her lips, brushing her hair with ivory combs. A third went to the door to admit my father. "A girl," my mother said to him, wrinkling her nose. But my father did not mind his daughters, who were sweet-tempered and golden as the first press of olives. Men and gods paid dearly for the chance to breed from their blood, and my father's treasury was said to rival that of the king of the gods himself. He placed his hand on my head in blessing. "She will make a fair match," he said. "How fair?" my mother wanted to know. This might be consolation if I could be traded for something better. My father considered, fingering the wisps of my hair, examining my eyes and the cut of my cheeks. "A prince, I think." "A prince?" my mother said. "You do not mean a mortal." The revulsion was plain on her face. Once when I was young, I asked what mortals looked like. My father said, "You may say they are shaped like us, but only as the worm is shaped like the whale." My mother had been simpler. "Like savage bags.